I think it's Genesis chapter something. We're going to do kind of like a Bible study tonight, so you're going to be turned to some passages, and because I want you to look at something that I think it'll be a help. It's a help to me, and I need to kind of visit this stuff daily because you can get distracted. Genesis 41 is where we'll start. And I guess before we get started, Doyle, would you pray for this? Amen. Amen. Genesis chapter 41, let's look in verse 46. We'll just read a couple of verses here. In verse 46, the Bible says, "And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. And in the seven plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls. And he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities, the food of the field, which was round about every city, laid he up in the same." And what we're going to look tonight at is what God wants you to lay up for the future. We know the story of Joseph, where by God's providence and direction that he put him in a position where that was what he needed. What needed to be done? He took he understood the vision, and he took the instruction to lay up as much as he could in those 7 years, so that when the 7 years of famine came, that they would have what they needed to survive. And so there was a God-given plan here for Joseph to lay up for the future. Now, Pastor did a message a while back. I don't know if it was Sunday night or I don't remember when it was about this. Basically this subject, and so I started looking at some of this stuff, and you know, in your Bible, there's some things that God clearly says for us not to lay up, and there's some things in there where he suggests that we should lay up for the future, but what's really good, and we're going to get to that last, is the things that God has already laid up for us, and if we can get the right focus on these things, and like I said, when I started looking at this, it helps to refocus sometimes. The Bible conference was great. There was no real profound new doctrines that you heard during the Bible conference. It was the same old stuff. But it's very good. It was very good for me to hear it and hear it again and hear it again. And I'm preaching to the choir, you know. But you know, when we have a Sunday, I'm off the lesson now. Here I go. Are you recording this?
No.
Oh, no. Okay. We have a Sunday morning evangelistic, I got it right, meeting, and you know that the gospel is going to be preached. There's always a certain group of folks that decide that's Sunday off because I've already heard the gospel. And I don't understand it myself because I, you know, Brother Modlich got up here and almost was in tears talking about being in tears when you lead somebody to the Lord. Okay? I understand that. I'm also, you know, when for years I was just like, now I get to stand in the back and peek. Y'all just have to sit here and act like your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. And you're peeking too. Why? Because you care. You care if somebody raises their hand. And you can hear it. When pastor will go, thank you very much, there's the hand. You can hear a sigh or a something in here where folks are going, all right, somebody raised their hand. And so I understand. So I covet, I actually want to come to church more when we're going to preach the gospel because of that. I don't know, maybe I'm weird. But you know, so I started into all that because some of these things you've heard 1,000 times, okay? And hopefully that it'll just kind of give you another little kick and help set your perspective so that you can kind of get back on where God wants us to be. And so that's the purpose of this. But, you know, God's got some stuff that we're not supposed to lay up, okay, for the future. Turn to Luke chapter 12. And we're going to go to lots of scripture because that's what this is all about. Luke chapter 12, let's just start in verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of the covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not of the abundance of the things which he possesses. Wow, that's where we live today. That's how you're graded on your character by the world standards on the things that you have. It's out of hand. Verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he says, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. Lots of my's in that. Lots of I's too. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods, look at this, laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So, you know, it's God does not really desire that we spend a bunch of our effort and a bunch of our time laying up stuff for ourselves. It's clear here. He went to the point to have a parable about it. You know, Job said in Job chapter 1, verse 21, he said, and naked came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's hard in the world that we live in to keep the truth inside of you that everything that you have because God has given it to you. And it's a hard thing. I'm going to give you an illustration. It's not once again, it's not to pump me up or any of that kind of stuff. It's just an illustration that God got a hold of me about. There was a time where, after my wife had died, there was a time where I had a little money in the stock market. I called it my security blanket. Okay. Some people it was, you know, they had more pocket money than that, and other people they would think that was just a big, you know, it's all relative, but to me it was my security blanket. I didn't need the money, I had it there. And this was back in the days when if the stock market got to 10,000, I was, you know, and where is it today, like 23? Oh, but I was really making money at 10, and so I had this security blanket, and I called it a security blanket, and I was doing just what that guy in Luke did. I was dependent on that. I was trusting in that. I knew that if something came up, I had that. I could get home. I could get that in my hands in seconds. I was trusting in the wrong thing. And the Lord dealt with me about it. And basically, you know, I'm pretty hard-headed. He had to go, would you want that as a security blanket or me? And so I can't, which one do you think I chose? Yeah, I chose God. So my financial advisor was not happy when I cashed out of that thing, when I told him what I was going to do with it. But I was happy, and I am to this day. I've never needed a security blanket. I've got the biggest security blanket there is, and that's part of having things laid up for yourself. The problem with the problem with that is, there's nothing with having, you know, if you got a 401k, man, I covet, I don't have one. I'd love to have one. You know, those kind of thing. Having a little retirement money, having a little extra, that's not what I'm talking about. But when you got something that you are trusting in, and it's like over here, and you don't, it's more than you trust in God. then you got a problem with it. And God's got a problem with it. And that's laying up stuff for the future that you don't know. Like the guy said, if you have no future, okay, your future is your next breath, and God's in charge of that. Look in Luke 19. Now, those are physical things that you lay up. And God really don't think that he would want us to lay up things for us. The Bible's clear on that in the future and those physical things. But let's look at something here in Luke 19. You've all heard this account many times. Look in verse 11. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable because it was nigh to Jerusalem. He was nigh to Jerusalem and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. And here's his parable. And he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went to a far country. Well, that's Jesus. To receive for himself a kingdom and return. That would be your second advent. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said to them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him. That's the Jews. And sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Well, we got a whole account of that happening. Verse 15, it came to pass that when he was returned, so he is coming back, folks, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound has gained 10 pounds. And he said to him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, thou hast authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound has gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, there is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. There's that phrase, laid up. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man, and thou takest up that which thou layest not down, and thou reapest that which I did not sow. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest thou not my money to the bank, and at my coming I might have required my own in usury. And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that has 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he has 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. We've got a parable there that it is, you know, there's a parable similar to this in Matthew, and it's got talents, and it's for the children of Israel. This one is for us. And you've heard the preaching, and you've heard the application that pound. Number one, everybody's given the same amount. Everybody's given 1 pound. Well, turn to Romans, I think it is. Let me look. Yeah, Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say through grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, think not of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, look at this, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. There's an application that can be made in this parable that 1 pound is the faith, this measure of faith that God has given you. And when he comes back at the second advent, we're going to be held in account for what did you do with it? What did you do with it? Some people, this measure of faith, I believe it's given to everybody, the lost and the saved. The lost, and before you got saved, you had enough faith to be able to believe the gospel and trust in the gospel. And that's a good thing to do with it. But that's not the last thing to do with it. And so this one servant in the parable, he took his faith, let's say, and he laid it up in a napkin, and just kind of wanted to make sure that he didn't lose any. But when the Lord came back, he hadn't done anything with it. was the problem. And so what we need to consider as far as this, what God wants us to lay up for the future is, he doesn't want us to lay up personal goods and big bank accounts and all those kind of things. But what he does want us is to lay up some spiritual goods. He wants us to do something with that faith that you have. And you're doing that tonight. Once again, I'm preaching to the choir. You guys here on a Wednesday night. You're freakish. I mean, the world doesn't do this on Wednesday night. I mean, there are Baptist churches right now that are quitting doing this on Wednesday night. So you're strange. But I think God likes strange. And I think he likes the fact that y'all have got a measure of faith and you're trying to actually do something with it. Pastor didn't show up, so Randy's up here, and you didn't leave. I mean, that takes a measure of faith, okay? And you're actually listening and hoping that you can get something from God out of this that'll help you. And so when the Lord does come back at the judgment seat of Christ, you know, we're going to be measured on our works and the things that we did in this body, whether they be good or bad. But we're going to be measured on what we did with that faith, what we did with that. And you don't want to lay it up in a napkin. Okay, so there's some things we shouldn't lay up. All right, what are some things that we should be laying up? Okay, turn to Proverbs chapter 7. Excuse me. Verse 1, Proverbs 7:1. My son, keep my words, and look at this, and lay up my commandments with thee. First thing that we ought to be laying up is his commandments. You say, what's that? It's all the do's and don'ts in that book sitting in your lap. And what we need to do by laying up is we need to visit these things. We need to have our hands on them. We need to do whatever. You know, when Joseph had the folks laying up those fruits and those grains and all of the produce and all the things that came from those 7 years of plenty, they actually had their hands on them. They were in them every day, and they were building storehouses so that they could keep those things. And we ought to be about doing the same thing with these do's and don'ts that God has. We ought to be all over this stuff so that you know the do's and don'ts in here so well, and they've been part of your life, that now they're habitual. They've become habit. They've become the things that you do. I don't know about you, but many years I had a plumbing license, and many, many years ago, the state came out where you have to go to continuing education, okay? And that is, I don't know if any of y'all have to go to continuing education for anything, but it's just standard that it's not fun, it's not interesting, and it's a waste of time, but you have to do it, okay? And I felt the same way about the plumbing deal. And so, you know, it was a whole Saturday that you get to pay for to sit in some conference room, and it was horrible. But I'd go there and I'd start listening, and the guy would talk, and if you had a good guy doing the deal, it was worth listening to it. And he would say something good, and I'd go, amen. You know, right gesture, wrong crowd. But the problem was, that was part of me. That was part of me. And I did something else where I had to do a training deal at work for some of my men. And so I did all the prep and I got all the stuff ready. And instead of saying turn to page so-and-so, I'd say turn to chapter so-and-so. I had the chapter and verse thing. It's ingrained in me because that's what I kept. And that's part of me. And we're supposed to lay up his commandments. All of those things, all the do's and don'ts of that book. You know, we say you're saved by grace through faith and not of your work, not of yourself, as a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then the next thing we tell you is you need to do all this stuff. Okay? So I'm not here to explain all of that. It doesn't have to do with your salvation, but what it has to do is with your fellowship with God and your walk in this world and your life. And so the things of that book ought to become you. you ought to become those things. You ought to lay up those commandments so that, any time, you know, it's that same illustration that Pastor's given for years. He started out in the banking business, and the way they taught him to identify counterfeit money was not by practicing looking at counterfeit money. It was by practicing looking at real money. And if you handle and touch and feel and smell real money, the first time wrong money comes through your hand, the alarm goes off. That's the way we ought to be with those commandments. We ought to be so ingrained that when something doesn't, your meter comes up and goes, wait a minute, that's not right. You see what I mean? So that's laying up his commandments. Let's look at another one. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Like Brother Bates said, that's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 11, let's just look in verse 18. Therefore shall ye lay up, here we go. This is a command of the children of Israel. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. God really, if we're going to lay up something, he would love for us to lay up his words. Well, what does that mean? We just talked about command. What that means is scripture. Is scripture. You know, I can't go back and do it, and I probably really wouldn't want to go back and do it, but I really wish that when I was younger, I would have started memorizing scripture. I love the fact that those kids over there, that stuff is getting in them. And I mean, it's getting inside. And there's going to come a time in every one of their lives where one of those scriptures, God and the Holy Spirit, is going to be able to bring to mind, as John says, bring to remembrance. The only way you can have something brought to your remembrance is you had to have it in you to begin with, or you had to look at it before. It's an amazing thing, you know. I've done this before. I get up here and I go to quote a piece of scripture and I can't come anywhere close to it. And then other times I don't intend to, but the Holy Spirit can take a scripture that I do not know and it just comes flowing right out of my mouth. And the only way that happens is I have laid up his words in my heart. And when you do your Bible reading, which all of us, you know, that's a thing that we pound and we push and we beg and we show the importance of it. Well, one of the most important things of that is what you don't know, and what you, until you may know it by now, some of you, you're laying that stuff up in your heart. You may not understand it. You may not understand all of this, parts of the temple and all of that. It may make no sense to you. But you're laying it up in there, and God can use that. And he wants us to lay up his words. He wants us to keep his words. And learning scripture, how many of y'all, you know, the older you get, does that seem to be harder? Yeah. I mean, I'm ashamed that I didn't learn more when I could. That's not a carte blanche excuse to not learn it now. And I work at that. But we're supposed to lay up his words. You know, I turn there. Job 23:12 says, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. And truly, you know, it always sounds like we just, you know, you preachers, you just get up there and you say stuff. And I don't believe you for a second. But I can tell you that truly, I've reached a point in my life where this book truly is, it's more food to me now than it's ever been in my life. There's been a time in my life where this was just something that I did because I knew I was supposed to do it. And there's nothing wrong with that. Because what you're doing is you're doing something that you know you should do. We've already covered that. But by doing that, you start to grow to a point by laying up this stuff that you begin to need it. You begin to want it. You begin, I don't know about anybody here, I can tell when I haven't read enough Bible. I can tell. Another scripture, you don't need to turn there. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. The only way, you know, I got saved when I was 11 or 12. Unlike, you'll hear preachers, I've heard them, get up and, you know, unless you know the day, the time, the hour, the exact place, and the whole thing, that you got saved, you didn't get saved. Well, is what I say to that. As Adrian Rogers says, you know, you can get in a plane and leave New York, and you can land in L.A., and you know what? You probably went through Colorado, or over Colorado. But do you know when you went over Colorado? But does that mean you didn't go over it? No. You know, my spirit bears witness to the fact that I'm saved. So that was a whole, that was free. Now I forgot what point I was trying to make. Oh, growing. I got saved then, and yet through circumstances beyond my control, my family, my parents never kept the church thing going. We moved, we started something else, this, that, and then I was a hairy-legged boy. And 12 turned into 13 and 14, and then that turned into driver's license, and then that turned into girlfriends, and then that turned into high school. And the next thing I knew, I'm 40 years old, and you know what I am? I'm a newborn babe in Christ. I have grown zero. And through circumstances in my life, and a lady giving me a daily bread devotional, you've heard all this before, I opened it up, and it's as, you know, have you ever been hungry? I mean hungry. Not this, oh, it's been 3 hours since I had breakfast and I'm starving to death. No, not that stuff. I'm talking about hungry. And when you see food, we've been camping and stuff before where we didn't have any food and we're not going to have any food for a while. And then I don't know why you do it, but you start talking about, man, I could smell Whataburger right now. You know, and that stuff has a power over you. You know what I mean? That's the way when I saw God's words, it was a baby that for the last 30 years had not had anything to eat. And when I saw those words, instantly I could not get enough. And for the next several years, and that's what led me to this goofy guy on the radio that's preaching, and he's giving me addresses and telling me where things are in the Bible. I said, I don't know. I may have to move somewhere, but I'm going to find this guy. Well, he was in a metal building over behind the Home Depot. Praise the Lord. And from then on, I had a lot of growing and catching up to do. But the only way you're going to grow as a Christian is by that book and by laying up those words, laying up those words. Yeah, Psalm 119:4 says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." That stuff will not only make you grow, but it'll keep you from sin. It'll keep you from sin. You know, you heard that this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the book. You know, it's your choice. So laying up. So lay up his commandments, lay up his words. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 10. So you, by the time we get through with this, you're going to have to rearrange. This is God's 401k. This is what the things you're supposed to be laying up according to Him. I might need to change the title. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 14. The Bible says, wise men, look at here, here's the word. Wise men lay up knowledge. Lay up knowledge. We're supposed to lay up his commandments, lay up his words, and lay up knowledge. What God wants you to do, and you're doing it tonight, you are laying up, you know, there's people actually taking notes here, they're laying up some knowledge. These are things that maybe they knew, or maybe they didn't know this or a part of this, but you're taking that and you're laying it up. You're adding it to what you have. You're adding to your knowledge. You can look in my Bible, it's just above the page, but it's in Proverbs 9, verse 10. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Well, we know that. And look at this. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. You know, when you can start laying up as much Bible knowledge as you can, that in turn helps you to start understanding the things that happen to you, the things that you deal with in life, understanding all of those kind of things. It's all tied together. And so God wants us to lay up as much knowledge as possible. Now the one that you've heard a lot is in Matthew chapter 6. As far as what we should lay up. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Verse 19 says, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth. That we hit that in the first point. We're not supposed to be laying up physical goods. Where the moth and rust does corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. Verse 20, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust does corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Oh, you got something that tells on you. Your heart tells on you. Where your treasure is where your heart is. You're not going to change that. I had that problem with my security blanket. It was a little treasure, and that's where my heart was. And by getting rid of it and saying, God, I'll take you over that, I changed the place my heart was, at least on that. But this is something that's not, this is something that's a daily, it's a daily deal for me. Because I don't know about you, but I like stuff. Do you know that Christmas is 60 days from today? That's when some people you don't even know give you stuff. Okay? And the people that you do know, if you're good, you make it real clear what kind of stuff you want. What color the stuff should be, what size, and how many of the stuffs you want. Or, you know, you can get that green stuff and it's one size fits all, you know. But I'm a guy, I'm confessing, I like stuff. I know none of y'all do. But you can get yourself in a bind if you don't take a little tweaking every once in a while and see what God wants you to lay up, and He don't care about that stuff. He don't care about that stuff. He cares about the stuff that you lay up in heaven, okay? And that's those things that we're supposed to be doing for Him. That's our service. So we've covered do not lay up things. We've covered what we should lay up. Here's the good part. We have a Father, and He is a good parent. Okay? He's a real good parent. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. You know, God has clearly showed us in this little lesson here things we shouldn't lay up and things that we ought to try to lay up. But He's our Father, and in 2 Corinthians 12:14, look what Paul says. Behold, the third time I'm ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you, look at this, the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. You know what we got? We got the biggest sugar daddy there is. There is stuff, and we're going to go through a list of stuff here, that He has laid up for every one of you as a child of God. And so let's look at the first one, Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, just look in verse 7. Here's our phrase again. He layeth up, look at this, sound wisdom for the righteous. Well, you're righteous, and it's not your righteousness, it's Jesus Christ's righteousness. So what that verse says is He has laid up for you and for me sound wisdom. Sound wisdom. Okay, so let's go to James and look at a couple of verses here so you can understand how that works. Because he's laid it up for you, and you think, well, do I have to wait till I go to heaven to get to draw on that wisdom, that sound wisdom that God's laid up for me? James chapter 1, verse 5. This is one of those things that he's laid up for you, and you've got an account. It's opened, and your name is on it. And he says here in verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. I mean, he'll give you all you need. Okay? And upbraideth not, and it shall be given. Upbraideth not means, I've been in a position where you have to go to the boss or you have to go to the leader or you have to go somewhere and ask for something and you're kind of like embarrassed to ask for it. And then you're ready to get a browbeating because you dummy, you should know that, or you dummy, am I the only one that's ever taken the you dummy speech? Come on now. Sure. And so sometimes you don't ask for wisdom because you think, well, I'm supposed to already know that. Well, you know, the Lord says here, if you lack wisdom, come to me. I give it to all men liberally. I give you all you need, and I upbraid not. That means he's not going to upbraid. You're not a dummy. He's got you an account. It's as if you've got an account with $300,000 in it, and you're a little short on the rent, but you're afraid to go to the bank and take the money out. God's got an account with sound wisdom laid up in it for every one of us. And what you do is when you need it, what do you got to do to get it? You ask Him for it. And He will show it through His words. He will show it through godly counsel. He'll show it sometime through circumstances. I wouldn't depend on that. He's never going to show you sound wisdom through feelings, because that's a bad way. You're in James. Go to James chapter 3. Now, this sound wisdom that God has laid up for you, you know, that's a godly wisdom. In James 3:17, here's a little description of godly wisdom. It says, but the wisdom that is from above, okay, is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. So, you know, we're just a bunch of dum-dums. And so when you receive some wisdom and you need to decide whether that was coming from the world or coming from God, because our adversary is a counterfeiter. Our adversary is a deceiver. And so lots of times Christians, myself included, we think because we prayed and we did something that we got some sound wisdom from the bank account from God. And what we've got a lot of times is some junk. Or we got our prayer answered because that's what we wanted to hear. We get a little bit too much flesh in this wisdom. Look back up in verse 15. Here's the wisdom that most of us fall for. This wisdom descendeth not from above. Yeah, I imagine. It's earthly, sensual. There's your feelings. And devilish. So there's two kinds of wisdom. The one that you're looking for, that is that sound wisdom that God's got laid up in that bank account for you, is the one that's pure and it's peaceable. Godly wisdom is going to be something, it says it's easy to be entreated. You know what that means? That means it doesn't take a whole lot of talking to accept it. God doesn't have to put a big sales pitch on you. And it's going to be peaceable. Has anybody ever got an answer from God and got that peace that passes all understanding? You know that wisdom came from the Lord. And it's full of mercy. It's without partiality and without hypocrisy. You know, if you get some wisdom and somebody can point out to you, well, you know, I know that you think God said that that was the thing to do, but let me show you here, and let me show you here, and let me show you here what God's Word says. Then it's clear that that didn't come from God, because it's hypocritical. You see what I mean? It doesn't match up with what He said. Okay, so sound wisdom. God's laid up all the sound wisdom that any of us want. It's there for our deal. I'm going to show you one thing in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Just to save time, we won't look at all of these. What has God laid up for us? 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul says, bringing it on down there, he said, verse 6, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is, look at this, laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me that day, at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." You know, God has got five crowns that the Bible mentions, and they're laid up, and they're available for every one of us. And this one is real hard to earn. You have just got to love his appearing. Now, you know, you've heard the deal where most of us would love our disappearing more than his appearing. You know, I'd love to know that I could get out of everything I've got myself into down here and we could get raptured out of here. I don't have to worry about any of that stuff. But the deal is to love his appearing, you get that crown. In case you don't know the rest of the references, here's a few. James 1:12 is the crown of life. And that's where you endure temptation. And sometimes they call that the martyr's crown. But there's enough temptation today, I believe, in this world that if you endure it and don't fall for it, that you're wearing one of these crowns that's laid up for you. 1 Thessalonians 2:17-20 talks about a crown of rejoicing. And that they call the soul winner's crown. That's where when you have any part in a person coming to the Lord, that you don't have to be the one there on the day of the harvest and doing the picking. You can be the one that comes here and prays and puts a dollar in that basket and it goes to a foreign field and somebody else does that work for you. You're working on your crown of rejoicing. 1 Peter 5:4, they call it the pastor's crown, the crown of glory. I don't know. This is off the record. This is my thought, but I believe there may be a whole bunch of Sunday school teachers and a whole bunch of people that have taken the time to sit down with somebody else with a Bible and show them something that has taken care of some sheep just like a pastor does. So we'll see. But those things are laid up. 1 Corinthians 9:24-27 talks about an incorruptible crown. It's a crown of temperance. And that's the one that may be hard for some of it. It's the one it's where you fight your flesh. It's to be temperate about things, keep things in order. So there's the five crowns that are already laid up. God has laid those up. They're up there and they're waiting to be given to us. A lot of people say, well, I don't need a crown. I don't need any. Well, God went to the trouble to invent these things. And he went to the trouble to put them in the Bible and tell you what you had to do to get one. And I think he'd be disappointed if everybody showed up and said, we didn't need any of that. What else you got? I really do. I think he plans on you really wanting to obtain these crowns. Let's look at just a couple more things. Colossians chapter 1, that God has got laid up for us. This one's laid up for our future. Colossians chapter 1, verse 5. Let's give some context. Verse 3. "We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which he have to all the saints. For, look at this, the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before the word of the truth of the gospel." You know what? You got some hope laid up in heaven. What do you think that is? I'm glad you asked. 1 Peter 1. Look in verse 3, 1 Peter 1, 3. Blessed be God, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Look at this. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away. Look at this. Reserved in heaven for you. Reserved in heaven for you. This is one of the only places in your Bible where it actually mentions an inheritance reserved in heaven for us. We know that we're going to be served with him as kings and priests, and we're going to rule over cities and those kind of things, and those are going to be rewards and stuff. But this actually talks about an inheritance waiting in heaven, stored up in heaven. You've heard John chapter 14 where it says that God has laid, he's up there building you a mansion. And those things are real, and they're there. And they're things that God has taken the trouble to lay up for our future. You know, my dad's already died. When my mom dies, I can expect absolutely zero inheritance. There's nothing to inherit. Maybe a bill that needs to be paid, but that's it. But I've got a Father in heaven that has exceedingly abundantly more than I could ever ask or even think of is laid up for me in heaven. It's amazing. Let's look at the last one, because I told Amanda, she mentioned God's goodness. I said I was going to get to that. Here it is. Psalm 31. God has laid up sound wisdom. He's laid up all these crowns for us. He's laid up our hope, which is our inheritance. And in Psalm 31, as soon as I get there, verse 19. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee, before the sons of men. You know what? You know how you can take a care, you can take advantage right now. This is one of those like sound wisdom. You can take advantage right now of God's goodness. How many of y'all have ever had any kind of taste of God's goodness? Every time we get praise reports in here, it's because of God's goodness. We actually got one tonight because of God's goodness, but you can account that to every other prayer praise that comes in here. We all benefit from that. And there's two conditions in this verse. How great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them, number one, that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee. Fearing God and trusting in God, open up the doors, open up the account to God's goodness. And if we could wake up, if I could wake up every day and understand that, I'd get me a vacuum cleaner and be trying to just suck all of the goodness I can out of God. You know, I like that. One more deal about the 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we'll stop. I love this verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. We can't imagine. Oh, I can imagine what a mansion looks like, and I think I can figure out it's not a pearly gate. It's a gate made out of one big pearl. I mean, that's kind of hard. And golden streets. But the verse says, eye has not seen, so I've never seen anything like it, so I can't make a comparison, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. God has laid up some stuff for us that we don't even have a concept of right now. And I can really I can really get excited about that, and hopefully you can too, and kind of put a little check on some of the things we're trying to, the things that I can lay up on this earth pale in comparison to what God has already laid up for us. And all we need to do is to fear Him and to trust Him and cash in on that. I hope this is a help. I hope it's encouraged you, because it sure did me. Father, I thank You for the lesson. I surely thank You for Your instructions on what we should lay up, what we shouldn't lay up, and most of all, Lord, what You've laid up for us. What a blessing. Thank You so much. Father, thank You for the church tonight on Wednesday night. I do pray for all those that are ill, that they would recover quickly. I do pray for Pastor Nan to get back safely. Father, You're so good to this church. You're so good to this church, and we're so thankful. And Lord, just keep it coming. Keep it coming. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.